Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. I will say this. I missed you guys yesterday. Yesterday when Rob and I were up at 4:30 in the morning and was driving to work, and I only saw one other car on the road at the same time while I was there, and into Quick Trip, it was like 5 o'clock, and everybody in there was just moving like a zombie. Like, no one was happy to be there. The clerk didn't have the normal, like, peppiness of what a Quick Trip worker normally has. The text line was very angsty from 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning. We've created a community here, Rob. The Drive is a family, you know? The text line, I always say, you guys are like the unofficial member of the show. I didn't feel that sense of family on the morning show. Now, I love the schedule. I love the time of it. It was something magical about being done with my day at 10:15 that it opened a whole new world for me, a world that I was not accustomed to. But I'm here to say that I don't really have much of an interest of going back there. And it's not because of, you know, it's not because of the time slot, Rob. It's because of the people. It's because of the people. I'm not going back to those people. They don't deserve me in the morning. You guys deserve me here in the evening. I'd much rather entertain you when you're driving home instead of going to work. Because if I woke up and I was driving to work at 6:30 in the morning, I'd be angsty too every day. Kid was up crying last night, didn't get a good night's rest. You couldn't watch the fourth quarter of the NBA playoff games. You have no clue what happened. I'd be angsty every day too if that happened. So you know what? I missed you guys yesterday. I don't know if you guys missed me or not, but I missed you guys yesterday. I also miss getting to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, Rob. Let's do it.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Well, the top story locally, at least, is yesterday. We found out that Kyle Long, Chiefs right guard, suffered a knee or leg injury that will keep him out all of the summer and through training camp. There is hope that he'll be ready for week one of the NFL regular season. But Carrington, considering Kyle Long was a free agent addition that we both believe was a depth piece, what do you think the right side of the Chiefs offensive line looks like now with Long out of the fold?
Rob, you know what? Cut the beat. I needed this. I missed that. So Barbara and I were debating this earlier about, is it fair to call players injury prone? Yeah. What are we talking about? I don't know why. I can't explain it. But some players are more prone to injury than other players. There was nothing in Kyle Long's track record that was going to suggest to us that he was going to play 17 games this season. I would say there wasn't much in his track record to suggest that he was going to play 12 games this season. So that's why I was arguing I don't think it made sense as a starting piece. But as a depth piece, as a guy you think could potentially start for you weeks 4 to 6 as your starter gets healthy, absolutely. I actually don't think that that's changed much. Based on what we know about the injury, I think he's back probably late August to this team, maybe early September. We'll see if he avoids the PUP list or not. And he goes and he's your 7th or 8th offensive lineman. And if something happens over the course of the game, or if a player's underperforming, you feel confident and comfortable enough to transition that player over and he can play some spot starts. That's, to me, Kyle Long's benefit to this team. I don't really think that changes. To answer your question, though, this is where I think the offensive line sits today. Left tackle, Orlando Brown. Left guard, Joe Tooney. At center, I believe it's Creed Humphrey. At right guard, they always had options. Whether it's Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who is going to be at mandatory minicamp. He hasn't been there so far. I would say Andrew Wiley is also in the mix. He could potentially be a starter for this team at right guard. And I think you have to throw Austin Blythe. If I don't think that Blythe is going to start at center because of Creed Humphrey, and he's a guy who has the versatility, and we know Andy loves the versatility, then it's realistic that he has a chance to at least compete to be the starting right guard for this team. That I would say there's nobody with a hold on that position. I would say at center, it could be deemed to be an open competition, but I assume, like, you don't draft to me Creed Humphrey at that spot if you don't think he can start for this team. At right tackle, I've been pretty steadfast on, I think Mike Rimmers is going to start for this team at right tackle. I don't think they're starting a rookie tackle. Certainly one who didn't play last season. So that's what I think the offensive line is going to be. I think this is a depth move, a depth piece. I don't really think his injury changes that too much.
Two.
One of the big Chiefs news in town is that we got the details officially on Bashaud Breeland's contract with the Minnesota Vikings. It is as follows: a $1 million base, or a little bit over that, fully guaranteed, $1 million signing bonus, and up to $925,000 in per game roster bonuses, coming up to a cap hit of around $2.7 million. Carrington, considering where the Chiefs' cornerback room is right now, combined with the details we now have on the contract of one Bashaud Breeland, are you surprised the Chiefs did not sign him back on that deal?
I can't explain it. I don't know why he wasn't their option for them at this price. We're talking a $1 million base, a $1 million signing bonus, and $1 million in in-game roster bonuses. We're talking no money here for Bashaud Breeland. I don't get why he's not back as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. At this price, I would say Kansas City made a choice. Like, I don't think Bashaud Breeland made a choice. I don't think it was a realistic option for him to come back to Kansas City. Not based on what he was saying. So I know this offseason he had shoulder surgery and maybe that scared the Chiefs off, but offseason surgery is just so common in the NFL. I mean, it happens for players that we just don't ever talk about it because you play football in the NFL. Like, something's wrong with you at the end of the year. They go fix it up. You rehab. You get stronger. You come back again, and you repeat the process. So at this price, I would say the Chiefs made a choice. The Chiefs didn't want Bashaud Breeland back. They chose Charvarius Ward. They chose Mike Hughes. They chose DeAndre Baker over bringing Bashaud Breeland back.
Three.
Well, earlier today, tickets went on sale for Garth Brooks at Arrowhead Stadium, GEHA at Arrowhead State Field at Arrowhead Stadium. I'm checking my latest email. According to the Chiefs, as of 3:03 p.m., more than 73,000 tickets had been sold for Garth Brooks, and limited tickets remained available to secure a spot to see Garth at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on August 7th. Carrington, no one else can do this other than Garth, right?
No, and that's where you can fade the music down. That's where we'll start the 5 o'clock hour with. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm thoroughly impressed by what Garth Brooks was able to do. Some of you might have known this was going to happen with Garth, but we're talking in a post-COVID world when people are supposed to be, ew, I don't want to be around other people. 70,000 tickets in 2 hours is nuts. Rob, let's say tomorrow they announced Nebraska was going to play Oklahoma in a football game. We think they sell 70,000 in 2 hours for that game? We're talking two prominent schools, prominent fan bases, easily drivable for both schools. I'm not saying that over time they don't get the necessary bodies in there and it's not a win for the city. We think they're selling out, though, in a day? I think it's going to take a little bit to sell that many tickets for a football game if that's what they decided to do. I'm stunned that they did this number when it came to Garth Brooks that quickly. It goes to my point. I was saying the four most popular things in Kansas City are Patrick Mahomes, flyovers, barbecue, and Garth Brooks. Now that I'm thinking about it, Rob, Garth might be number two. We might like Garth more than we like barbecue. Do we think 70,000 people are going to that barbecue fest they're having out there at Arrowhead? Are they getting 70,000 people to go to that? It's a festival to celebrate barbecue. And we might not get 70,000 people out there. And that's just as of 2 hours. They're still trying to pack more people into that thing. Clark Hunt missed out on that money and told himself, never again. Break out, Lucille. He got Garth coming. He might be announcing more cons. Garth might do two dates now. Garth might do 70 twice at Arrowhead. Let Garth announce another show. I bet you he does another 50 or 60. Who else could do this, Rob? What other musician do you think is capable of doing what Garth Brooks just did in Kansas City? I think the list is really small. I think there's a lot of people that could fill up Sprint Center. Like, I don't think that is a really unique group of people. I don't think it's a large group of people, but I mean, how many people do we think could be the headliner of a tour at Sprint and sell it out? I think that's probably a list of about 30 or 40 people. The amount of people that we think could sell out Arrowhead for a concert is a really, really small list.
And we're talking just a singular entity or one band, one commodity. We're not talking about like some reunion tour where this group hasn't been together in 20 years and it's all about getting the nostalgia back. And, you know, like if NSYNC tomorrow was like, we're doing it and we're going to tour with the Backstreet Boys, A, we'd both be there. B, it might do it. But that doesn't count because they're not making music on their own anymore. We're talking about singular entity that exists right now. I'm thinking it's just Beyonce. And I guess Taylor Swift has done it, so Taylor Swift can do it again. And maybe someone like Eminem or Jay-Z that just doesn't tour enough that you could get it done. But I think that's the group.
I mean, I saw Eminem at Can Roxas. It wasn't 70,000 people at that show.
If there wasn't 70 at Can Roxas, I had to walk him back. I'm wrong then.
I'm not arguing that Eminem couldn't do numbers. I don't think Jay-Z comes even close by himself. This isn't really a market that you get 70,000 people to hear a rapper. Ain't really this.
Even one that prominent? Even what's considered the best?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Jay-Z and Kanye at Sprint Center, and it wasn't, I mean, it was a lot of people there, but I didn't leave thinking that this venue was too small.
Okay, that's fair.
I think that Kenny Chesney could do it. I think he's one of the few people that could do it. So if you're saying who could fill up Arrowhead, I think Beyonce is pretty clearly on that list. I think Taylor's clearly on that list. I put Kenny Chesney on there. I think Adele's on there too. I think Adele's on there for this reason. Now, maybe your qualification is they can't be announcing new music, right?
Oh, they can do. They can do new. Well, they can't be announcing a new album in succession in cohesion with a new tour. So, like for Taylor, she's like, "Here's my new album. It's the I'm Broken Up Again, I'm Sad album, and we're gonna do a tour with that album alone." That doesn't count. It's got to be just like, I'm touring. You don't know what you're going to get. A potpourri.
Yeah.
Because Garth's got no new music, right? This may be where I'm ignorant on Garth.
I don't know.
You're the Garth expert. You know Garth's got new stuff out, right?
Someone,
I don't know.
Someone on the text line says Bieber could do it. If Bieber could do it, he wouldn't be at Sprint Center. He wouldn't be at Sprint Center.
Dua Lipa can't do it either. I mean, come on now. That's crazy.
I would say anybody that's doing one show at Sprint Center, or even two shows at Sprint Center, is out of this conversation. Why would you do it? Like, what would the benefit be? Like, Bieber's coming to Kansas City, right? For that Peaches Tour or whatever the hell it's called?
I believe so, yeah.
If you have the ability to do 70,000 people, why would you pick the venue that seats 19,000 people? Don't make sense why you would do that. So, no, Post Malone is not filling up Arrowhead. He's not filling it up. He could fill up Sprint easy. I think Post could maybe do a second one. Maybe do a second at Sprint. You guys are underestimating 70,000 people and how many people that is and how hard it is to do. What Garth did today is pretty amazing. Like, really amazing. But yeah, people are throwing out artists like Ed Sheeran. Being a Sprint Center act and a Arrowhead act are just two completely different things. Like, there ain't that many football stadium acts. There's a lot of arena acts. Ain't that many football stadium acts. So today we are actually taking 5 1-minute breaks during the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be back in 1 minute. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We'll move on and talk sports here in a little bit. I am surprised how many of you are not putting Beyonce in this category as someone that could fill up Arrowhead. I don't really know why Beyonce's being left out of this conversation. Maybe it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I'm sure there's a couple country artists. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. But Rob, tomorrow if Beyonce said, I'm doing a show this summer at Arrowhead, every ticket's going to be $100, it would sell out in a day, right? Like, even think that's much of a debate.
Oh, yeah.
With like no new music.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she never tours, and I'm pretty sure every woman on earth likes Beyonce. And men. I love Beyonce. What's
and
love?
The people would just come from just everywhere to see Beyonce. So, yeah, I don't think there's that many people, but, yeah, Beyonce is 100% on that list of, if she said she was doing a stadium tour at Arrowhead and she included it, she would sell a lot of tickets. Coming up in a little bit, if you missed earlier today, Sean Barber joined us on the show today. We caught up with the former NFL linebacker, Sean Barber. He was on the show with us, and we will catch up with him in a little bit. So I am in the process of watching 80s movies. I watched Top Gun a couple days ago, And I really liked Top Gun. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I was emotionally invested in the characters. I'm excited for the sequel. I'm happy that you guys have allowed me into your Top Gun family and your crew. I know I'm the person that caught the band when they were super popular, but I'm still a diehard fan the way you guys are, and I'll be in there first. I'll be in their first weekend to see the Top Gun sequel. I'm excited for it now. But Rob, if you got to hit my music here so I can give you my review of National Lampoon's Vacation, this movie was not good. This movie was not very funny. The jokes and the humor did not translate very well to modern times. I'm disappointed, and I'm putting cases on all of you for suggesting me to watch this movie. One thing I've learned in my quick journey through these 80s movies, did they not spend money on soundtracks? So I watched Top Gun. They played the Danger Zone song 7 times. This was the only song that they had. It was like they spent their budget on Blitzkrieg Bop in the very beginning, and then the rest of the way, this is the only song they played for the rest of the movie. Why? Okay. There were some things I liked about this movie. Like, I thought the Aunt Edna bit was funny. I thought that was by far and away the funniest thing about the movie, was the Aunt Edna bit. When they picked her up, she's in the car, she's got that crazy dog, she dies. I did think that was funny. Like, but then they're having the conversation outside about what they're going to do with her, and they determine to put her on the top of the hood of the car. I did think that was funny. I did laugh. The laughs were few far between outside of that. Like, Rob, at the very beginning of the movie is the humor that the car is bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's the humor. So they have his old car. He gets that new car. Is that like slap your knee, hilarious, funny, or like, haha, okay, all right, I get it?
I think it's like a lot of haha, I get it moments that as you kind of see them more often, they kind of get funnier. Like, they have multiple scenes where after they put Anna on the hood of the car, or the roof of the car, excuse me, they show like driving scenes and she's up there, and it's fun. It makes it funnier again.
I also looked at this movie and was a little bit woke. The first black person that talked in this movie, Rob, was a pimp. I kid you not. Go back and watch it.
That's not inaccurate.
The first black person that talked, so they're driving. They're then driving to the wrong part of town. And he asked this black dude for directions, and the black dude is a pimp. The second black person that talked in this movie robbed him. The third black person that talked in this movie got a gun pointed at him. That was it. That was all the people that were in it. I was like, yo, hold on. I'm supposed to be laughing at this. This ain't funny. Then when they get to Kansas, number one, has anybody ever like looked up the route that they took in this? This seemed like the most out of the way path to get from Chicago to California that one person has ever taken in their entire life. So they went to Dodge City, Kansas first, which, where's Dodge City, Kansas? I've never been there before.
It's like out west.
Okay. After watching this, I don't have any interest in going out there.
It wasn't for you before this.
And then they went to another small town in Kansas. Hold on, I wrote it down here. They went to Coolidge, I believe that's how they pronounce it. That's where he meets up with his family, and the daughter has all the weed and she gives it to his daughter, and his boy has all the magazines, and that's where they go pick Aunt Edna up. I assume their humor is that they're just hicks and we're supposed to make fun of them for being hicks. Like, that's the humor for those people.
I can't believe you didn't enjoy the moment where they made fun of Kansans. That seems like something you do for 4 hours a day.
Well, I like to think I'm a little bit more unpredictable than that.
I mean, there's more nuance in your jokes. That's
fair. Yeah,
thank you.
I appreciate that.
But
thank you.
At its core, it's similar.
Yeah, like it was the stereotypical jokes that we make about people who grew up in that environment. I think the appeal for that movie is it's a rated R family movie. That's the vibe that I got. It's a rated R family movie. I wasn't expecting any nudity in this movie. I had no clue. All of a sudden, I saw the wife's breasts, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Twice. That'd be two times in the movie. I do want to point this out before we tell you the next movie that I'm going to watch for Monday. Christy Brinkley is amazing. She was amazing. I had no clue how. I mean, he was openly flirting with that woman at least three separate times. His wife just didn't see him talking to her any of the other times. I don't care what you're doing. If you're openly flirting with another woman, your wife knows. You could be doing it right now at your job. Some of you got a work wife. Your wife knows about her. You don't think she knows? She knows. She's got your phone bugged. She's tracking all your moves. She knows about that woman. She had the worst sixth sense of any woman I've ever seen on screen before. I'm disappointed in you guys for this movie suggestion. I'm giving Vacation a 4.5. I gave Top Gun an 8.5. Maybe I'm more of an 80s action person than an 80s comedy person. But I love other 80s comedies. I love Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I love Caddyshack. I love Coming to America. You know me, I'm a big Breakfast Club person. This one just didn't do it for me. So we got to get back up on that horse. On Monday, I'll have another review. What movies? Tell people the movies that are available. And I believe we have picked Princess Bride as the movie I'm going
to
watch.
Princess Bride is the pick. That's officially official. You'll have all weekend to watch that. Tune in Monday to hear Carrington either A, celebrate one of your favorites, or B, crush it. That's kind of how this segment goes. The other movies on the list that he will be watching that he did not watch are Back to the Future, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back. When you do that one, it's going to hurt me. I know it's going to hurt me physically, but that's not here nor there. Ghostbusters, E.T., Uncle Buck, Weekend at Bernie's, Airplane, Fletch, When Harry Met Sally, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, St. Elmo's Fire, The Goonies, or Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. This weekend on deck for you is The Princess Bride.
Okay, I'll probably watch two of these movies. So I'll watch two movies. I'll watch Princess Bride. I'm actually really excited to watch Indiana Jones. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't seen any of the Indiana Jones movies. I'm actually excited to watch Indiana Jones. I do look forward to that review of Indiana Jones. Somebody said Beverly D'Angelo. Yeah, Mrs. Griswold. She was cute. I really liked her. I don't know if she's in anything else, but I would watch another movie that she's in. Is the woman that's Mrs. Griswold, is she in anything else that's not a National Lampoon movie? Like, is she in like another movie? Because I want to see her.
She had a reoccurring role on Entourage. Let's see what else.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. She was Demira. It was Babs or whatever, the other agent that Ari worked with. Let's see here. Other film movies, just fast forward to American History X. Did you ever see that?
No.
Okay.
Have I told you what happened? So, actually, you know, I'll tell you on the other side. I know we got to take this minute break. I'll tell you. I try to stay away from prison movies for this reason. I'll explain coming up in 1 minute.
You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. So you asked me about what movie was it?
American History X.
Have I ever told you about me and Oz?
You've told me about Oz. Yes, I remember that now.
So I, not as much lately because I've been rewatching Breaking Bad, but before I go to bed, I normally watch Law and Order, and I watch a lot of Law and Order. I don't really ever have dreams about Law and Order, so I had just finished The Wire, I just finished Sopranos, that I was looking for my next HBO show, and if you want to talk about a HBO show that I had never seen before. So it was between Oz or Entourage were the two that I was deciding that I wanted to watch. And I started watching Oz and I was having graphic prison dreams. Like waking up in the middle of the night, graphic prison dreams that I said, I can't do anymore. If it's not Shawshank Redemption, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I'm okay. I'm all right. So I don't know a whole lot about American History X. Like, I have like a limited understanding of what it is. Movie was also made in 1998, not an 80s movie, but I've always thought it was a prison movie, so I don't have any interest in watching it.
I brought it up because it's something you asked what Beverly D'Angelo's in.
This also, though, is she like prime in this?
I would say she's prime up until that. That's probably the end of the prime. Because, like, you're not going to be like, oh, man, she was great in How High in 2004.
She might have been great in there.
I don't think she was great. She was in Harold and Kumar. You know what movie? We're going to totally sidebar here real quick. Do you ever see The House Bunny with Anna Faris?
No, never seen that before.
It's actually a really dumb but really funny, like, Netflix 90-minute movie.
You probably loved Anna Faris.
Oh, I definitely did.
Of course. I know your type. You know, everybody they say has a type.
You got my niche down fast.
Yeah, no, I know exactly your type. Like, all you got to do is, like, say the celebrity, and I could say, oh, yeah, Rob will like her. I know for the most part. Anna Faris, you definitely went through an Anna Faris phase.
100% did.
100%. Coming up in a little bit, we will catch up with Sean Barber. We'll talk a little NFL, a little Chiefs football with Sean Barber coming up in just a little bit. It is funny, Rob, you bring it up, how you and I are really in the same place when it comes to the college football playoff. Like, someone on the text line asked, hey, wouldn't you like this? It gives Missouri more of a chance. A chance at what? Like, maybe the difference between my view of the college football playoff and everybody else's view of the college football playoff is I don't really want more of a chance to go get embarrassed. Like, let's take Missouri's 2-3 best teams over the last 15 to 20 years, right? 2007, 2011, I'm just trying to get my years right, and then that first couple years there in the SEC. What always happened? They would always hit their head on a team that is in a higher tier than they are in the college football hierarchy. So in 2007, they lost two games all year. Who were those two teams to? Oklahoma. The next time they did it, who'd they lose to in the Big 12 championship? Oklahoma. Fast forward when they go to the SEC. So they've been to the SEC championship game two times. Who'd they lose to both times? First time was Auburn. Better program than Missouri. Second time was Alabama. Clearly a better football program than Missouri. So, sure, in 2007, Missouri would have been in the college football playoff. They maybe could have won a game in the college football playoff. You get the right matchup that year, you don't play one of those top teams, then you maybe have a chance to win a playoff game. Kind of like what happened to them, I would say, in the Cotton Bowl. Like, they beat Arkansas. Like, Arkansas is the team you would play in the first round of the of this new playoff system. But then they would just keep running into the same problem. When you really think about it, over the last 30 years, Rob, how many college football programs would you say have moved up a tier in the ladder? So if we took a snapshot of college football in, let's say, 1991, so like post-SMU, post those teams, 1991, because it is far easier to move down, I would say, in tier to do what Nebraska did and Colorado did than to move up. There aren't really many new powers in college football. They haven't really emerged since then. It's kind of a rotation of the same teams that have always been good. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, those programs.
Clemson's the only team that probably came up.
Yeah, and I would say that Clemson in the 80s was a good program. Now, They maybe were a tier two program that have now moved into being a tier one program, but it's not like Clemson was a tier three or four program that have now pushed up to being a tier one. It's not really how college football works. It happens a little bit more frequently in college basketball just because you don't need nearly as many kids in order for it to work. Like, if you're Gonzaga, you keep the coach in place for a while. You only really got to get four really good kids. If you can do that consistently, then you'll have a chance to be really good.
I agree. And you mentioned earlier, it's rare we agree on this. We're on the same page here. And for me, it's similar to what you think, but I also think this. I don't like that across the sports landscape, we are devaluing the regular season only to add more postseason games. And I always joke with my friends that the battle's been lost. As someone who loves the regular season and thinks it needs to be held to a higher standard,
I lost the battle to the playoff dollar. It's gone. I've lost the battle. The latest team, the latest sport to lose the battle is college football. Moving the playoff to 12 gets a lot more playoff eyes and playoff dollars, but all it does is ruin the regular season. Because what's going to happen, as I know what's going to happen, an 8-4 or 9-3 SEC or Big 12 team is going to make the playoff as a 12 seed, and everyone's going to be like, well, they do X, Y, and Z so well. They're going to upset the, 5 seed, and it's going to be them against Clemson, and we're going to be like, well, look at this, the team's hot. And they're going to get boat raced, and everyone's going to be like, that was fun, except for me, who's going to be like, why? Why did they make it? They had no business in that game. They shouldn't have been played.
Someone on the text line says, but yeah, Notre Dame, Nebraska, and those teams aren't what they used to be. USC has, like, I would say some of those programs have a chance to easily get back to what they used to be. Like, a lot of those same inherent advantages are still there. Like, USC is still in Southern California, where the recruiting base is there. You just got to get back to getting them. Let me ask you this. Do you think this helps the northern schools? Because there's like a deep socioeconomic conversation here, like a racial part of this conversation people probably don't want to have. Since integration, the power in college football has slowly and slowly started to shift more towards the South. Like, if we're using the Mason-Dixon line as a dividing line in our country, how many of those programs have won a championship post-integration? Two? I think the answer is two.
Who are the two? Michigan and Nebraska?
And then Ohio State.
Okay.
So three. So three programs.
Notre Dame won one in the 80s.
Notre Dame always just has this. I don't know why we continue to protect Notre Dame.
I'm just saying they're up north. That's a fact of life.
Yeah. Someone said, do you think that those 12 teams help the tier two? If anything, I think this hurts the tier one team. These teams, believe me, the SEC would not be signing up for this if they thought it hurt their chances. It helps their chances. And we're going to have a playoff with five SEC teams. This is not going to be they're going to go high and low to include Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina and give you these new fun matchups. Nope. That's not what's going to happen here. The first round is going to be two SEC rematches for everybody to enjoy. Played in home stadiums. Coming up, we'll be joined by Sean Barber, former NFL linebacker. Sean Barber will be on the show coming up in exactly 1 minute. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll answer your questions. Go ahead and text them in, 913-576-7610. It is a segment that you control. Ask us anything. Earlier today, Sean Barber joined us in studio. We talked about Bashaud Breeland and also Kyle Long's injury and what that means for the offensive line. Our conversation started with, is it fair to call Kyle Long an injury-prone player?
You prepare to go play a season. I mean, Kyle Long, he came here with the opportunity to get himself back in shape, do what he has to do. Obviously, he came in shape already. I think he was actually working pretty well with the ones and trying to fight for a position on a team that we all feel is going to be a team that's going to make a stride and make a push for the playoffs, not only the playoffs, but also a Super Bowl champion. And so I think as an organization, if you think a guy has something left in the tank, you kick the tires and you realize, you know what, he actually has some value. You can add it to the team. You go ahead and make a run at it. So I applaud the Chiefs for not being too fearful and just a blind's eye to any player who's ever been injured over the last 2 years, and that eliminated those guys from being a possible addition to the team. To be great, you have to sometimes, what to say, scared money don't make money. You would never make a dime because you ain't putting your chips out in front of nobody. You keeping it tight to the vest. You just want to make your 2% interest and be okay with it. But man, sometimes you got to put a little money in the hedge fund. You got to invest sometimes in some risky business in order to get a great return on your investment, bro.
What do you think the plan is at right guard?
What is the plan?
So now that Kyle Long's out, I don't think it's realistic to think that Kyle Long's going to start week one for the Kansas City Chiefs. LDT hasn't been here yet, but Andy Reid confirmed yesterday that he's going to be here for mandatory camp. Trey Smith, we're talking about a sixth-round draft pick out of Tennessee. What do you think the plan is at right guard?
Continue to work all through training camp. And in week one of the season, they're going to look at the roster, and they're going to look at which seven guys, eight guys on the offensive line they got. They're going to put the guys out there. I mean, I don't think it changes due to any one injury. There's not one injury that gives you all of a sudden an aha moment that this is going to be the Chiefs starting five in week one against the Browns because of this one thing that happened back in June. There's so much more football to play. We don't even know if the additions on the offensive line are even complete yet. There's still a number of transactions and roster cuts that have to be made throughout the league. There might be guys get cut free that are able to come in and work at the guard position that we don't even we can't even envision that part. So the one thing we know is that Andy and Andy Heck, they do a great job of getting those guys prepared to play with whoever's in the building, right? Whether you're holding out, you're injured, the guys that are in the building able to strap it up, tied to shoot, ready to get dressed and be able to play, they do an awesome job of getting those guys as prepared as possible, ready to play.
I do think we know the offensive line, I would say, for the most part, right? Like, I would say
Thuney.
At left tackle,
Brown.
At left guard, Joe Thuney. At center, I think it's going to be Creed Humphrey.
You like Creed?
You think Creed Humphrey? I mean,
Paolo.
It's either going to be Creed Humphrey or Austin Blythe. I think Creed Humphrey, I mean, if you're going to draft a center at the top 60, you should anticipate on him being a starter.
Rocky. Creed.
Creed Humphrey at center. At right guard, I think it's between LDT and Wiley. I think it's either one of those guys starting week one for this team. At right tackle, I think it's going to be Mike Rimmers. I think Rimmers is going to start week one at right tackle.
I like that. What you just said to me is a offensive line I think I can roll with for the at least the first half of the season.
Do you think that Reed would have any objection to playing multiple rookies on the offensive line? Like Niang? So, like, what if the offensive line was Creed Humphrey at right guard, Trey Smith really went out there and balled and won the job, and then Lucas Niang went out there and did it where the entire right side of his offensive line would be rookies? Do you think that Reed would have a problem with that?
No, not at all. Again, when we talk about offensive line play, I don't think that the whole experience thing, the whole resume thing is as important as it is the communication, the camaraderie, the learning how to play with, the wingman. Like, the offensive line is very unique and very special. Like you got the same guy to the left and right of you doing almost the same job on a down-by-down basis. And as long as y'all can take care of the twists, the knives, when the D-line does the different adjustments and the shifts and the moves, I mean, I don't think being a rookie is a detriment at all. I mean, that's one of the positions across the NFL that I think, I mean, if you had to put three rookies at any, you don't want three linebackers rookies, you don't want three corners, you don't want two safeties playing, you don't want three of your four wideouts being rookies untested. So there's probably no other position on the field that you feel as comfortable playing young rookies, because at the end of the day, what gets it done in the trenches is just being able to to be honest with you, you got to be able to maul the guy in front of you. You got to be able to bend his will, to use your willpower to bend his technique and take that defensive aggression. They're going to come off hard. They're going to come off strong. They're trying to get to your quarterback. But I think, as an offensive line, no matter how many years experience you got to be able to kind of make that D-line bow down and, give him some humility really quick. So I think the names you listed off, I'm comfortable with all those names being in the starting lineup come week one versus the Browns.
What's the fastest thing you need to learn as a rookie in the NFL?
Oh, this is serious. These guys out here trying to feed their families. Like, it's not that, the college, man, you got college pride. Like, even University of Richmond grad, I got much respect for University of Richmond. My hometown, VA, I love, all the schools from Virginia. But there's nothing like getting to the pros and going to, you look across and the desire and the aggression in that guy's eyes across from you is not like a college level guy. Like, the guys are out there trying to feed their family. This is a career. This is a business. And so you got to realize that really quickly. Some guys realize in training camp, some guys it doesn't take it until a few games into the season. But it's a quick adjustment than most rookies. They realize that, you know, either rarely quickly, or they're that NFL moniker sometimes means not for long. And so sometimes that NFL is an example of your career.
Right now, we're talking to Sean Barber. If you got a question, 913-576-7610. We'll go through some of your questions for Barber here coming up in a little bit. You and I have had a lot of conversations about this, so I think this is the perfect way to start. Do you think I make too much of the Chiefs cornerback situation? Like, the text line has called me corner dot. And for the last couple of years, I have been a little bit concerned. This year, I think my concern is valid. There's not a single corner on this team who has more than 4 years of experience. All the guys that they are counting on are coming off significant injuries from last year. Uh-huh. I would say my worry for the cornerback group right now is at like a 6.5. I think most Chiefs fans would put it at like a 1 or a 2. It's, well, Veach has done this before, so why do we need to worry about it? Corner might be the only thing I'm really worried about when it comes to this team. I don't love their linebackers, but they've just shown me time and time again, like, all right, like they'll figure it out when it comes to it. I am a little concerned that they didn't bring back Bashaud Breeland, especially when I see the dollar amount. Bashaud Breeland got no money in the NFL. He has a one-year $1 million base salary. Why did the Chiefs not sign him to that deal?
Because we don't know the factors behind that. Maybe they offered him the exact same deal, and he just chose, because I've already been here. You know, my time's up here. Like, I don't want to sign back with the team I just came from. Obviously, that's not, you know, they feel like he felt like that wasn't in his future. And, I mean, maybe he just needed a change of scenery. Maybe Minnesota was the town. He saw some opportunity there. He sees them as being an up-and-coming team. And
I think his feelings were hurt that Kansas City didn't want to pay him. I genuinely think that. I think
you got to ask Breezy about that. I can't speak on what Breezy feels, so you got to ask Breezy about that.
Well, I'm going to have Rob pull the audio for you, because I want you to hear the pain in that man's voice. The pain in that man's voice would lead me to believe that he really wanted to be a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. They just weren't willing to pay him what I think he thinks that he's worth. But the market has told Bashaud Breeland what he's worth. He's worth at most $4 million. I think he still looks at himself as that guy who signed that contract with the Carolina Panthers. And that money is never coming back. That 3 years, $24 million deal that got voided because of your Achilles, you're never going to get that money back.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, you say that, right? You say that because you're looking at the computer and you're taking his age and what other guys are making and blah, blah, blah. Like, man, once the salary cap jumps back to what it is, the pre-COVID type of salary cap.
He signed four straight one-year deals.
Again. Like, so if he goes out there and this season he's the Stephon Gilmore or he's the Jalen Ramsey this season, then you're telling me that you're sure that that contract that he
did he join the Monstars? When did Bashaud Breeland turn into Jalen Ramsey over the last 12 months? I'm trying to figure out what they're feeding him.
Oh, you're saying he doesn't possess the skill set to put that on the field?
I think he's a really strong number two.
Does he have the skill set to put that on the field?
Elite? No. I think he's a good corner. I think Breeland is a good corner. I think the most money Bashaud Breeland can get in one individual season is $6 million. Hmm. Like, next year, I wouldn't be shocked if he signed a two-year, $12 million deal. I don't think there's any team that's going to commit much more than that to him. I don't think so.
Because you're basing off his past production, right? You're saying if he has the year that he had, like, here last year, right? Is that what you're basing off? So that's what I'm trying to tell you. A guy's future is only handcuffed by his past if he's allowed. Most players are not in the mentality of, I'm going to do exactly what I did last year. Most guys prepare themselves, right? And maybe people don't believe this, but most guys, from a mentality standpoint, you're preparing yourself to be an all-pro every year. Every year you're going out to be the number – I prepared myself every year to be the number one linebacker, the number one outside line. I was not taking a backseat to John Mobley or Ray Lewis. Like, any of these all-time Pro Bowl linebackers, you could not tell me before that season start that on my horizon, on any year I went out there to prepare myself to play, that I wasn't going to end up being the number one outside linebacker that year. And that's a mindset I think that's very tough for people to understand, and that does prevent guys from signing some deals that most people say, hey, man, you should go ahead and take this deal. You should take this three-year deal making $2.5 million, da-da-da-da-da, because you're still chasing a contract offer that you didn't get 3 years ago. Well, obviously, he put something on the field that got that deal offered to him, and it was a failed physical. So he possesses the skill set and the capability of getting that offer to him. He just has to, right, recuperate and put it on the field just like he did four or five seasons ago. I think he has the ability to do it, man. It's, again, errant opportunity. That's what most guys just need. As long as they got enough time to do it. Like I said, man, NFL is not for long, and you don't have forever to do it. But, man, that next season, you never know – what a guy's mindset can perform or put out there or get him in a situation to do on that field to have a storied season that sets him up for a monumental contract. So, man, my hat's off to Breezy for believing in himself, betting on himself. This is the best. Obviously, he took the deal with Minnesota because that's the best thing for him to do, as you know, for his personality and for his persona and his career moving forward. So I wish him all the best. I hope he does go out there and becomes Jalen Ramsey too, or become the next Deion Sanders out there in the field, man. Like, I want these brothers to all elevate and make the next contract. So yeah, I can't hate on Breezy for chasing his dreams and going ahead knowing that what his worth is and then you know, going out there and trying to prove it on the field.
Do you think the Chiefs are gonna miss him?
No.
I do think they're gonna miss
him. That's not what you also you probably miss all your ex-girlfriends too, don't you? Like, see, oh, look at, oh man. Rob, I heard him, Rob.
Why do we have to do
Rob,
this?
Rob, I heard him. I hit him deep. Hurt him deep, Rob. Yeah, man. Like, listen.
Their defense is predicated on these two things.
Who is you talking about, the Chiefs?
Yes. The Chiefs defense, I would say cornerback wise, is predicated on
stopping the run, getting to the quarterback.
Sneed being a legitimate number one corner.
Can we stop the
and or
stop
Mike
the tape.
Hughes or DeAndre Baker
Rob,
being something
the
that they haven't been before?
See, not talking about stuff he don't know again. NFL defenses are based upon these things: stopping the run, getting to the quarterback.
And that was my guy, Sean Barber, who I love. Sean Barber. Barber's probably one of my 10 favorite people. He's also one of my 10 least favorite people. It's the segment that you control, 913-576-7610. Ask us anything coming up next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Text line 913-576-7610 is a segment that you control. Ask us anything. What will happen first? NBA team in Kansas City, KU is suspended for March Madness, or Royals win another World Series? I'd rank it in terms of likeliness: KU suspended from the NCAA tournament, Royals win World Series, NBA team in Kansas City. I don't think the NBA in Kansas City is very viable for a couple of different reasons. One, I don't think there's the owner that wants to move the team to Kansas City. I also think they're just behind too many cities. I think they're behind Seattle. I think they're behind Vegas. I also don't think the NBA, if they're thinking of expanding, I don't think they want to expand into another small market team. And that's what Kansas City would be if they were added to the NBA. What's your favorite Chinese dish? I am a huge chicken and broccoli person. Huge. Like, that's all I get is chicken and broccoli. What are you most looking forward to during E3 this year? I really want them to announce another Mario Kart. I feel like we've had this Mario Kart now, Mario Kart 8, for 6 years. I feel like it's time for them to announce something else. I'm also hopeful that they're going to announce the remake for Metal Gear Solid. In terms of games that I know are coming out, there's this game on PS5 called Deathloop that was supposed to come out in March, but it's coming out in September. I think the trailer to that looks really, really good. So yeah, that's probably the biggest things I'm looking forward to this year when it comes to E3. Are you going to the Garth Brooks concert? If the Chiefs give us tickets, I will go. If they give us tickets,
I'll go with you. If we get Brad G, I know you're listening. If you hook us up with freebies, we will go.
Yeah, if they hook it up, then yeah, I would go. But I'm not paying to see Garth Brooks in this concert. I hope you guys knew that wasn't going down. 913-576-7610. Sitting here looking through the text line. Rob, what's your favorite 80s movie? The text line asks.
Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
Is that the second one?
That's the second one. The first one's in the 70s. That's why I said about 80s.
Okay, I was making sure.
I have seen more 80s movies than you, but whenever we do that exercise and people put on the text line, there's a lot of movies I never heard of. So it's always an odd sensation. But yeah, Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars.
Text line 913-576-7610. I always like asking you guys questions. I, this weekend, have a plan to watch Spiral. I probably will watch Cruella, too, at some point.
I heard that's really good.
I've heard really good things about Cruella.
I really want to see it. It's on my Disney. I mean, you have to pay the extra for Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can still. If you want
I know.
If you
I'm
want me to help you with Cruella, I'll help you.
I know I'm talking to you so I can make it work. I just meant, like, for the people that don't know the finesse.
Yeah, if you want me to help you with Cruella, I'll very happily help you watch Cruella.
I do need to get back in the theaters. Maybe I'll see that in theaters this weekend.
Yeah. I actually would go see Spiral at the movie theater, but at this point, there's probably nobody in the theater, so it's like I'm watching it at home anyway.
I actually bought my Black Widow tickets the other day to go into theaters. IMAX. Ready to roll.
When's that coming out? Like July something?
July 9th. I got tickets for July 8th. We have a Royals game at 5 o'clock that night, so I'll be seeing it at 7.
I am happy to say, I won't give too much information now, but I have found a release date for my documentary.
Ah.
I'm excited about that. We're working towards the release date. I haven't...
It's not the same day as Black Widow for me, right?
No, okay. It is not. It is not. But I will have a release date to announce to you guys. We're still fine-tuning it, but I'm like 95% sure that's the day that it will be shown to everybody if you are interested in that kind of thing. Carrington, which one do you like more, Major League or Bull Durham? All right, I'm gonna pick both sides here. I think Bull Durham is the better movie out of the two. I think Major League is more entertaining to watch because it's a comedy. But I think Bull Durham is actually a really great movie. I think it accurately depicts minor league baseball. I think it's a very unique love story, which all those movies try to do a love story, but I actually think the way that they tell it's pretty unique. I really love Bull Durham. It's one of my favorite sports movies. Someone said, Rob, that Better Off Dead is a movie that I need to watch instead of the ones you have me watching.
That's an example of something I've never seen before, so I can't help you out there.
Okay, so on Monday, I'll be back. I will watch Princess Bride this weekend. I'll probably pick some other random movie to watch. Like, I'll just pick some other random 80s movies off that list. Like, you might get a 2-for-1 deal on Monday when it comes to 80s reviews. You might get a 2-for-1 deal. Rob, if you don't play this clip here to end the show, I'm going to be very, very upset. I'm going to be very, very upset. We only have one rule now on this show. I'll see you guys later.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.